Chapter 16. Quality conflicts. When passion conflicts with other non-dual qualities. Against stupidity, the very gods themselves contend in vain. Friedrich Schiller. Students of non-dual therapy and readers of this book are in an evolutionary process of discovering the myriad qualities of true nature, which are inseparable from the qualities of consciousness. As we explored in the introduction, these qualities are abundant, unconditioned, timeless, and infinite. They never get lost and can never be injured. All that happens is that our connection with them changes to denser forms. For example, our connection with purity shows up as the frozen purity, which is shame, or our connection with freedom shows up as the frozen freedom, which is slavery. The quality was never lost. It just became contracted, and it is waiting to decontract. When our consciousness touches this energetic contraction, we sense the suffering of the manifest quality. For example, when we become conscious of guilt, we begin to suffer our innocence. This suffering of innocence can only be sensed because of the pure innocence within the consciousness. Only innocence can sense guilt. If we were guilty to the core, we couldn't feel it. This guilt is made of contracted innocence, and there is an energetic recognition. In this way, consciousness is a catalytic healer of the psyche. Consciousness contains the living templates of the qualities of true nature in unadulterated form, and the touch of consciousness is an invitation for contracted energies to melt back to source. In the words of quantum physicist David Bohm, universe consists of frozen light. Within the unified field, there is creation. And creation is a process of differentiation in which the implicit field of infinite possibility becomes explicit. A core dimension of differentiation is that in which we sense the non-dual qualities, or qualities of true nature. These include powerful energies such as love, peace, freedom, care, and purity. These qualities are an inseparable, interdependent orchestra of infinite variety. In naturalness, each quality is a portal to a dimension in which all the rest live. There is a vast harmony and ultimately one recognizable, potent, all-powerful, all-inclusive sweetness that defies definition but is called by the Buddhists metta, often translated as loving-kindness. Sometimes the psyche will block one quality at the expense of another. It will hold them apart in a state of competition, as if one quality threatens the other. For example, the quality of freedom could be taken as incompatible with the quality of care. The quality of belonging as incompatible with the quality of truth, or the quality of peace as incompatible with the quality of passion. As part of its controlling mechanism, as a strategy to survive, the psyche splits itself into subparts in which the flow of information is broken down in a field of conflict or suffering. The part of me that cares for my children, for example, might demand the sacrifice of the part of me that needs to move in freedom. The part of me that is loving might demand the sacrifice of the part of me that is truthful, or vice versa. Healing comes when we are able to blend the two qualities that have been polarized in the psyche. For example, when we find the freedom in care, what happens? For example, let's imagine there is a conflict between passion and care. When we find the passion in care, what happens? When we find the care in our passion, what happens? What had seemed mutually exclusive refines and becomes truer. Where parts of the psyche were breaking connection, a whole new flow of information exchange starts up. It is entirely possible that the resource of one quality will help liberate the contraction in the other. Our care, for example, becomes much more unconditional, genuine, precise, and empowered when it has passion in it. In this psychological minefield of quality conflict, passion is a family black sheep and is often a forerunner for sacrifice. This is ironic because passion is the quality with the elixir that can awaken all the other conflicts from anywhere and everywhere. For example, the quality of love might falter at a mass grave. But passion will not. Passion will unlock the love from its conditions. The quality of care might falter if it needs to destroy. But passion will not. Passion will unlock the care from its conditions. In the words of Viktor Frankl, it is not freedom from conditions, but it is freedom to take a stand towards the conditions. When we consider all the reasons why not to be passionate, we will find the quality conflicts around passion. Perhaps we deny our passion because then we would feel devoid of care. Passion, after all, can seem egocentric, arrogant, inconsiderate, and risks being hurtful to others. Passion can be destructive, and caring people preserve. They do not destroy. To be passionate, we need to be careless, right? We need to throw all worries to the wind and just go for it. But how would it be to be passionate in our care? How would it be to care deeply for our passion? Could we imagine a way in which passion is care and care is passion? Can we get a sense of the process of liberated quality connection that comes forward when the two are allowed to fuse and move as one? Let us pick another quality. Perhaps we feel that if we allow passion, we will lose all peace. A passionate life is not an easy one. It is a life of strife. How can there be peace in it? This is a contemplation that could revolutionize how we connect to both peace and passion. Is peace a freeze on activity? Is it a constriction, a state of inertia, or a dead weight? If we make a feeling connection with peace and bring the energy of passion into it, what happens? If we let ourselves be at peace with the natural ebb and flow of passion, what happens then? Can you sense the deepening empowerment and the relaxation into the field of pure potential? Sometimes the quality conflict can be sneaky. For example, we might not feel able to allow passion because we are just unable to feel it. We can be so caught in the quality of manifestation that we are unable to allow the unmanifest source, which is the emptiness out of which passion emerges. We make manifestation a condition of passion. In a way, we want the pudding to be proved before it is tasted. This patterning is quite common in our conditioning, in which we are addicted to control. It affects our attitudes to all qualities, as all of them arise spontaneously out of the unmanifest. So often, this controlling pattern means we want to know the way we are traveling before we have walked it. We want to know the way we will feel before we will feel it. We want to know that which is unknown before we will know it. We want to get a grip on the manifest form before we will allow the manifestation. Of course, this critical difficulty with emptiness or dissolution will interfere with passion. We want passion so much we despair at the lack of it, barring our own entry to the unmanifest field of pure possibility. Let us again quote David Bohm. Space is not empty, it is full, a plenum as opposed to a vacuum, and is the ground for the existence of everything, including ourselves. The universe is not separate from this cosmic sea of energy. In the reunion between qualities through split fragments of the psyche, a powerful healing process is occurring. Sometimes a third quality will come forward as a needed bridge. For example, the quality of authority could come forward as a resource in the negotiation between truth and passion. Or the quality of wisdom could come forward in the negotiation between passion and innocence. All qualities are of service in the liberation of all other qualities. The dance of true nature will spontaneously attune to the needs of the here and now, especially when the quality of passion is allowed back into the family. What qualities appear on your horizon as obstructions when you consider the transmission of passion through your body, heart, and mind?